here to share God's Word. I invite you to turn with me to the passage that you see, Acts chapter 16. We're going to be looking at that in just a moment. While you're turning to Acts 16, I just want you to know a little bit of background about the Scripture that we're going to be diving into. It takes place about 50 years after the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His glorious resurrection and ascension. Paul is on his second missionary journey and Silas is accompanying him. They are moving toward Asia because that's where Paul thought he wanted to go and plant churches next. And then God encountered him in a dream and gave him that Macedonian cry, which turned him away from Asia Minor, toward Macedonia. And so when they land at port at the city of Philippi, they start moving into town and immediately they begin sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. They talk about Jesus, they preach about Jesus, and as they're moving along the way and people are beginning to listen, there is a slave girl that is possessed of a demonic spirit that hears them and comes and falls down at them and calls them men of God and just follows them everywhere they're going. And as they're trying to preach, she's speaking loudly. And finally, Paul just turns around and he just says to her, "Come out of her." And immediately, the Bible says that demon was exorcised out of that young slave girl. Wow, her life was going to be changed forever, but it caused Paul and Silas quite a bit of difficulty. Because that slave girl, while she was possessed of that demonic spirit, had the ability to foretell the future. And the men who owned her were making quite a bit of this every time she could tell somebody's fortune. So they weren't very happy with what Paul had just done when they learned that she no longer could tell the future. And we're going to pick up there at Acts chapter 16, verse 19, as you follow along. "And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and they drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And they brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans.' And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes, and they commanded to beat them." Verse 23, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And about midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all of the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, we are all here.' Then he called for a light, and he sprang in, and he came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and he said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.' And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he, that jailer, he took them to the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Would you pray with me once again? Almighty God, as we call upon you, we thank you for, Lord, the infilling of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for inhabiting the praises of your people. We thank you, God, that Jesus has already been lifted up in a high and a mighty way here today. For it is all about Him. It is not about us, not one of us. We are here because we are bought with that price, or we are seeking redemption. Father, I pray that you'll speak to every heart today. Lord, that you will move us according to the power of your Spirit, that you will challenge us to believe and trust no matter what is going on in our lives. And we'll give you glory and we'll give you honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. What a story. One of my favorites in the New Testament. I've given it a kind of a unique title. Some of you may recognize a part of this title. I call this The Night the Jailhouse Rocked. Maybe borrowing a little bit from Big E from some time ago. But I want you to think about the jailhouse. I want you to think about where Paul and Silas were. I want you to think about how they got there. And I want you to realize that they were being fully obedient unto God. Now please, put that in your mind. That's the foundation you've got to be hearing. They weren't running from God like Jonah. They were being fully obedient. In fact, they were set in one direction toward Asia Minor, and God turned them toward Macedonia. In that vision, Paul saw a Macedonian with his arms lifted up saying, "Come to us. You know, come tell us the story." So Paul was being completely obedient to the best of his ability. And then all this happens to them. So that night, there was more than just an earthquake that rocked the jailhouse. I want you to think with me about several things that rocked the jailhouse. The first thing is courage. Courage rocked that jailhouse that night. Paul and Silas, they knew Jesus. They knew about how courageous Jesus had been. When he faced the ridicule of men, Jesus did not back down. When he faced the scourging of that cat of nine tails, he did not run away. When Jesus faced that cross and they nailed him there for you and my sins, Jesus showed courage. He did that for you and me. And Paul knew all about the courage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they wanted to act in courage. How do you define courage? I heard a kind of a humorous story about courage one day about a professor who was a very hard grader in college. He gave these students a special essay assignment. He said, "I want you to write a 5-page paper for me." And in this paper, he said, "I want you to give me the best example of courage that you possibly can." All the students looked at each other and thought, "Wow." Well, there was one smart young man in the back. He thought, He knew how hard this professor was in his grading. He sat down and he took 5 sheets of paper. He folded them together and wrote his name on it. And he turned them in blank. We're told that the professor gave him an A. That's a lot of courage. Now, my disclaimer to you young people is don't try this at school, okay? But what is courage? It's that ability to act even though you're in the face of fear or you're in the midst of grief. having courage. Paul and Silas demonstrated, I believe, great courage as they faced the ridicule of these people. They were there to tell them the good news of Jesus. They were concerned about their lost souls. But all these people were concerned about was how these two men were upsetting their town. When I think about the way Christians are looked upon today, from Hollywood's viewpoint or from even the news media today, with all this alternative lifestyle stuff going on and people just looking at us as the church saying, you should accept them. Let me tell you, I love them because Jesus loves them. But I do not have to accept their lifestyle. When we stand up for what's right, sometimes people are going to ridicule us. They're going to make fun of us. They're even going to say or accuse us of being guilty of hate crimes. That's exactly what they're calling that today. But I say to you, with all the love you can possibly muster, if you're a child of the King, don't ever be afraid to stand on the Word of God. Know that God is going to take care of you no matter what. Paul and Silas believed in the face of this ridicule that God was going to take care of them. They were not afraid of men. And the Bible says that we're not supposed to fear men who can just destroy our body, but we're supposed to fear the Lord who can destroy both soul and body. I mean, we need to really think this through. Are we more concerned about what people think of us or more about what God, our Creator, our loving Heavenly Father thinks about us? Man, they were beaten. They were literally flogged. The Greek word, if you go back to the original in the text of the New Testament written in Koine Greek, that word is roptizo, and it means severely beaten. They didn't just lay a couple of little stripes on Paul and Silas to get their attention. They were going to make an example out of them publicly there in the square. These men were beaten. And then they were cast into prison. Look at that verse there. After they had been severely flogged, they were cast into prison. Think about that. They were not treated very well. Think about how our criminals are treated today. I used to serve in Cherville as the police chaplain. Did that for about 6 years, years ago, back in the 90s. I remember when we ever made an arrest, and we made several drug arrests out on the roads, we would take those guys, and I would watch the officers, as you've probably seen on television. They read them the Miranda Act. They tell them about their rights. And then they take those nice fellas, and when they get to the police cruiser, they open the door for them. And they put their hand on their little heads, and they mash their little head down so they won't bump their head getting into that cruiser. You've seen it. Paul and Silas didn't get that kind of treatment. They were beaten without question. Then they were cast into the prison. And what was their response? What would your response have been? You're being faithful to God. You even changed where you were going because you felt God directed you. And as a result of all of that, man, you get corralled, you get publicly assaulted and beaten, and then they throw you into the prison like you're a hardened criminal. I mean, what would your reaction be? Man, I think about that and try to put flesh and blood on that. How would I feel if they brought me out here in Gastonia, right downtown, and flogged me? I mean, beat me severely till blood ran, and then took me and shoved me around and threw me into the prison and locked my feet in chains. Paul and Silas were remarkable believers. I only hope that I could have the faith and the strength and the courage that they had in the middle of the night, at midnight. Man, these guys began to pray to the Lord and to sing praises to Him. Now, if you don't think this got the other prisoners' attention, it wasn't that it just kept them awake. Word travels fast, I'm told, in prison or in jail. You know, it's what you in for, that kind of thing. Well, these guys are brought in bleeding, bruised, and they throw them into solitary confinement. I mean, the deepest part of the jail. Put them in stocks. Man, the other prisoners are probably mumbling, what did they do? we better watch these guys. And then Paul and Silas, they weren't whimpering. They weren't whining. Do you hear me, Baptist? They weren't whining about the temperature or the problem or how dark it was in there. Man, they prayed to God from the midst of that dark, dark place. And they began to sing praises to God. They weren't whining, they were worshiping. Man, we have the freedom today. We need to worship in spirit and in truth. Man, I just pray that God would give us the courage to face this kind of ridicule and this kind of possible persecution, which we may face before we leave this earth. Man, they were responding by praising God, and the other prisoners, they were listening to them. Now, if you don't think this impacted those prisoners, just follow me along in a few minutes when we talk about the prisoners again. They weren't criticizing their accusers or their judges, those magistrates, not even the jailer. I can just imagine what I'd be tempted to say. I probably would have been out there with my little lip puckered out. Why, Lord, I thought I was doing what you wanted me to do. These men had great courage. Courage to trust God. Do you have this kind of courage? Well, courage is not the only thing that rocked the jailhouse. Compassion also rocked the jailhouse that night. Paul and Silas, again, they knew about the heart of compassion that their Lord Jesus had. Wow. Think about that. Compassion toward the sick. When Jesus would see those who were hurt and broken, lame, blind, deaf, how He responded to them. They knew He had a heart of compassion for the people who were hurting, the people that were downtrodden. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Wow. Compassion. How do you define compassion? I'm probably dating myself a little bit here, but how many of you have ever heard of Paul Harvey? Oh, there's a few of you here at least. Younger people, just Google it. Paul Harvey told a story years ago about a little boy, 8 years old, and his name was Ben. Ben won a contest at a local McDonald's, and the first prize was a brand new bicycle. 8-year-old boy winning a brand new bicycle. Wow. Ben goes home, pushing that bicycle home. He gets home, he talks to his mom and dad, and he says, "You know, I already have a bicycle. And my friend doesn't have one, and his parents, they don't even have the means to buy him one. I think I'm going to give him a bike." And his parents thought, "Well, that's very sweet, Ben. Go ahead." And they were shocked when Ben gave him the new bike. Well, when the McDonald's manager, when she found out about it, Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story, she invited him and his family to come for a special free meal at McDonald's again, and there she presented him with a gift certificate to a local store for $100. Paul Harvey says that the story goes that Ben took that gift certificate and went and spent most of it on a safety helmet for his friend the next day. Now that is compassion. Compassion should be second nature to us as Christians, right? It should be. But sometimes we're all about us. I'm telling you, if you're still about you, you've not surrendered all to Jesus. Jesus said, "Unless a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, you're never going to see the kingdom of heaven." Man, if we can learn something from little Ben, I think we need to have compassion. Now, Paul and Silas, they had compassion. There was an earthquake that rocked that prison. And all of the cell doors just swung open. You can imagine the hinges coming loose with the earthquake and the doors just swing open. The chains fall off of the walls. The people are literally, all of the prisoners, free. Free to run. We're not told what any of them were in there for. We're not told much about the prisoners. You think about that. The jailer, verse 27, he woke up. The earthquake woke him up. And when he woke up, his first thought was his responsibility, the prisoners. And he sees that the door is open to the prison. He doesn't have to go any further. He knows the door is wide open. They're gone. Right? I mean, that's normally what prisoners do. So he, having been charged to be responsible for Paul and Silas and all the other prisoners, knew that he had failed at his job, or in his mind he perceived that he had failed and that he would be tortured for this. So he drew his sword out and he's about to commit suicide. He's going to fall on his sword. With compassion, Paul says, "Don't do it, for we are all here." Now you tell me that hearing Paul and Silas praying to God and singing praises to God at midnight didn't affect those other prisoners. This is my proof that it did. They were all there. Think about that. The power of God. Man, he was panic struck. He was about to do himself in. Herod had recently killed 16 guards because of a very similar situation where Peter kind of just disappeared. This jailer, Paul with no malice, Paul with no bitterness, Paul with no hatred for all that had happened to him. For this jailer could have laid those stripes on him himself, or he could have ordered it to be done. He didn't wait till the man fell on his sword. He was concerned with compassion about that man's soul. And he stopped him. Wow. Think about that. That man was so shaken up that he ordered torches to be brought, lanterns. He went down into the darkness, and there they all were. He was so amazed. He went to Paul and Silas, and he fell on his knees, trembling. And then he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Wow. I think about that. That's awesome. That is amazing. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Doesn't say you might be, doesn't say maybe, doesn't say you can lose it one day and have it again another day. It says, you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with a repentant heart, you will be saved. We can take that to the bank. Man. So courage rocked the house. Compassion rocked the house. And as a result of that, conversion rocked the house. Think about that. That man was converted that night. My definition of conversion is that there's a real change. Can you imagine this jailer's life from that night on? Wow. It says he brought them out immediately. And he took and he began to clean those places where the stripes had left welts and possibly gashes. And when he was close to that water, they baptized him. And all of his in his house. He was so happy. The passage goes on to say that joyfully he brought them into his house and set meat in front of them. Now in the first century in the Middle East, to have a meal set before you was an honor. And this was an honor that was being bestowed on Paul and Silas by the man who had had them beaten and imprisoned. But now he knew their Lord personally. His life had been changed. There was conversion there. I'm asking you, has this ever happened to you? Has there been real change in your life? You've got to have more than religion, folks. I'm serious. This is the most important part of this message. You need to hear this. Jesus wants a relationship with you. And it's got to be real. And if it's not, one day you'll stand before Him and you'll say, Lord, I went to Sunday school. Lord, I put money in the offering plate. Lord, I helped at Harvest Festival. And He'll say, I'm sorry, depart from me, you doer of iniquity. I never knew you. Man, when that day comes for me and I stand before Christ, I want to hear Him say, welcome, well done, my good and faithful servant. Isn't that what you want to hear, Christian? I want to hear God say that. But it's going to require faith in Jesus. Not in yourself, not in your own works. Paul said, it's by grace through faith that we're saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith. How do you define faith? I want to close with a story about one of the early missionaries. His name was John Patton. John Patton went out as a pioneer missionary to the Hebrides Islands. And learning the language of the people, he felt God impress upon him that they needed to have a New Testament and a Bible in their language. So as he was learning the language, he began to translate the New Testament first. And to his chagrin, to his astonishment, the natives of the Hebrides Island, in their language, in their vocabulary, they did not have a word for faith. Now, how do you translate the New Testament without the word faith? He began to pray seriously, God, help me. I need to be able to communicate the truth of the gospel. And one day, he and one of his native converts went out deer hunting. They were able to bag a big deer. They strapped its legs together, put it on a pole, and they carried it back down the mountain to the house. And the story goes that when they got there, they dropped that deer on the patio, and that native fell out on a big lounger and said, it is good to stretch myself out here, isn't it? And Patton said, He got up and he wrote that phrase down in that native tongue. And when he translated Acts chapter 16, from which we've been reading, and when he got to verse 31, this is what he put. Stretch yourself out on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What a picture. Wow. If you just took the cornucopia, the Bible, and the candlesticks apart, and just came and laid yourself out across this altar table. Say, Lord, here's my life. Forgive me, take me, use me. Stretch yourself out on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Has that happened to you? If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're just a religious person, that's a good thing, but it's not the best thing. You need to know Jesus personally. When I get to heaven, I want to see all of you there. You've got to know Jesus to get there. Paul and Silas, they put love into action when they got jailed, when they were beaten, when they were ridiculed. Do we have that kind of love and compassion? If we had more of that, I believe more people would want to know what we have. We don't exhibit enough of that, people. We've got to live our Christian faith in front of this world. There's never been a greater time to be a Christian and alive than right now. The world's never been any more lost than it is around us, even our own nation. We've got to be the salt and the light of Jesus Christ. Maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe you've shrunk back from being the salt or the light. Maybe there have been opportunities you've had to share Jesus and you let the devil cheat you out of those. I would invite you to come rededicate your life to Jesus. Say, God, help me to be what You want me to be. And when you leave here today, you won't be leaving feeling guilty. You'll be leaving here with joy in your heart that all things are made right again with the Lord. If Christ is not close to you right now, He didn't move. It was you. Come to Jesus today. accept Him as Lord and Savior. Let this be the day. Let this be the hour. If you need to rededicate your life, come. If you have lost family members or lost co-workers or friends or neighbors that you just want to come and pray for here at the altar, I believe this altar will be open for that as well. However God is speaking to you, don't be ashamed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. Don't be ashamed of God working in your heart. I'm going to ask Pastor Justin if he would to come and stand as we prepare for our hymn of commitment. I surrender all. Would you stand with me and would you surrender all to Jesus right now?